All right. Welcome to Experience. Last week we kicked this off, and this week we're moving forward. I've got way too many things on this table, so we'll see how that works out in the long run. That coffee's got a 50-50 chance of making it. But last week we kicked this off, and as we started, we laid out three key principles. And as we begin today, I want us to kind of revisit those for just one second. And I'm not sure how well you'll be able to see this marker. I was trying to set something up earlier, but it didn't quite work out that well. But the first thing that we talked through last week is this idea that, okay, I am spiritual. And the verse that we looked at, is where God is talking about, okay, this is the number one thing that you need to keep in mind. And he talks about to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, right? Mark 12:30. Jesus Christ is saying, listen, this is the number one commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. The first thing that we're building this on is this idea that there's more to me than just what's physical. Right? I'm spirit. There's something about me that's soul. There's something about me that's heart. There's more to me than just what I feel. It's this idea of spirit. The second thing that we talked about was the idea that God came to give me life. That the reason Jesus Christ came, and he says, I didn't just come. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life, and not just that they could have life, but that they could have life to the fullest. And so as we started off, we talked about this idea that, okay, I'm spiritual. God has come so that I can have life to the fullest. And then third, that I get that life or I experience that life as I experience God. And it's interesting because as we were singing that song, I didn't realize that those words were in the song that we just finished. But there's a verse in Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. It says, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires." I've heard this verse used a million different ways. There are people who will tell you, based upon this verse, that if you follow Jesus Christ, that all your dreams will come true. That everything will work out. Everything you've ever dreamed of, if your heart desires it, it will happen. I don't know if they read the rest of the Bible or just that one verse, but they walk away and they say, okay, God's going to give you everything that you ever... And then I've heard people say, well, no, it doesn't really work that way. Maybe God changes what you desire, what you long for. But the interesting thing about this verse is that it's almost a cross-reference to what Paul is talking about when he says what we talked about last week, that the fruit of the Spirit, and go ahead and bring this verse up here, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And Paul's writing, I think he's writing to clarify this idea. And he's saying, listen, I want you to understand something about this relationship that we have with God. Not only are you spiritual, not only did God come to give you life, but that life, it comes through the connection that you have with God and His Spirit. He says, when you have this connection with God, when you have this connection with His Spirit, there's something that happens in your life. It produces something. Love, joy, peace, patience, right? What are these things? They're the desire of your heart. Right? I mean, what is it that your heart really desires? Sometimes you feel like your heart desires the Corvette, right? But on a much deeper level, what is it that your heart really desires? Sometimes the only thing you think your heart desires is that she would say yes when you ask her out. But what is it at the base of that, this idea of love, right? There are certain things at the core that your heart desires. And what these two authors are trying to tell us is that, listen, there's more to you than just physical. God came to give this life to you. God came to give you this life to the fullest. But it's not something that God just gives you as you pray for. It's not something that you earn from God. It's the fruit or the result of experience. It's the fruit or the result of God's Spirit in your life. And so last week we walked through these ideas and we talked about this idea of seeking God and beginning to live our lives in such a way that we're constantly looking for him. And we began a journey, and Charlie talked about this just at the beginning of the service, this idea of 15 minutes. And last week, our challenge as we walked out of here was that as we go into this week, that we're going to spend 15 minutes every day focused on one thing, experiencing God. Why? Because I'm spiritual, because God came to give me life, and that life is found through experiencing him. As a matter of fact, God talks about it as bread and water. We need it to live. It's the very foundation of our ability to stay alive. And so we set out on this journey. And we decided, you know what, I'm going to believe God. I was so excited last week because as you walked in today, you received a program. A lot of you did. And inside there's a connection card. Half of you will fill that out. Half of you will throw that away. We know that, all right? But last week, the thing I was so excited about is that 25 people on their connection cards made the commitment to take that 15-minute challenge. And I know there are a lot of you who took it and didn't fill out a connection card. And I was so excited. I was like, wow. What can God do if we really have 25 people who for the next 6 weeks spend 15 minutes of their day seeking him? I'm telling you right now, if just 25 of us were to do that for 6 weeks, I don't think it would just change our church. I think it would change our city. And so we set out on this journey of faith. I got a really cool email this week. It was from someone who's journeying with us who really isn't sure what she believes about this idea of God. She really isn't sure whether she even believes that God exists. And we've had a lot of conversations as she's been journeying with us. And some of you are here and you're in the exact same situation that she's in. And you're like, I don't really know if I belong here. You do belong here. This is a safe place to search and to journey no matter where you are, no matter what you're struggling with at this point. We want you to know that. And she's at that point where she's not sure. She doesn't know if God exists. And she decided last week as she walked out of here, she's like, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the 15-minute challenge. And she emailed me on Monday, and she's like, I had my first 15 minutes last night. She's like, I was driving down the road. I was going to visit a friend of mine, and a song came on the radio, and so I just pulled off. And last week we talked about beginning it with a song, and she's like, so I just pulled off the road. And she's like, but I just cried the entire time. She says, just this long conversation about trying to believe. And then she ended the email. She said, I'm going to keep taking the 15 minutes. I'm going to keep going with the challenge. I was so excited. And I emailed her back. You're like, you're so excited. The girl's sitting there crying. Like, what are you talking about? You're so excited. I emailed her back. I was like, listen, I want to share with you a passage that's found in James 2 about this idea of faith and this thing that we're walking through. And in James 2, James shares with us a lot about this idea of faith and what it means to have faith. And he says this, he says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. And we talked about this last week, that this isn't about believing in a God. This is about believing God. He says, you say you have faith because you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? I wrote her back. I said, I want you to listen to what this writer has to say about this idea of faith. I said, this struggle that you're engaged in, this struggle of whether or not you believe that God is real, I said, for the next 6 weeks, just put that aside and simply believe God. I said, faith isn't the fact that somehow you could wrap your mind around the idea that God exists. Faith is that you keep showing up day after day after day to spend that 15 minutes with him because you believe what he says. You see, faith isn't when you can finally wrap your mind around the intellectual idea. Faith is when you act on what God says, even when you don't understand it. Faith is when you believe, even when you're not sure. And I had a really great illustration for this, but someone took my chair. Whoever moved my chair, it's a little blue chair. If you could come get my chair and bring it back to me, that would be wonderful. I can totally understand why they moved my chair, because it was ugly and they probably looked there and said, who put that there? But it's kind of important to what we're talking about. Everyone has seen these folding chairs, right? This is a new version of it, but everyone's seen these things, right? This one actually has a bag attached to it. You can't lose the bag. It's attached to it. And you see these things, and they keep coming up with new designs. Like, every time I go into the store, there's like a new way to put a chair in a bag, right? Like, and then they go crazy with them. They have like covers on them. They got footstools for them. And everything fits in a bag. Of course, the bag is like this big on your back, but you can figure it out. Well, say we have this chair. And with this idea of faith. You see, for this girl, faith is about believing that the chair is there. But what James says is, you can stand back and believe that the chair is there all you want. But that's not faith. You can talk to Nick and say, Nick, does the chair hold me up? Nick says, yeah, absolutely. The chair will hold you up. It's great. It's relaxing. It's really comfortable. I love these things. And for her, it's like, okay, I have to somehow believe that the chair is going to hold me up, but I'm looking at that thing, and it doesn't look like it's going to hold me up. As a matter of fact, I haven't yet sat in this chair, and so I'm not sure if it's going to hold me up. This could be a really bad illustration. But she's thinking, okay, faith is that I could somehow get my mind to believe that the chair is going to hold me up. James says, no, faith, you can stand back here and you can believe all you want that the chair is going to hold you up. He says, faith doesn't have anything to do with that. He says, faith is when you sit down. He says, you can stand back here and you can say, you know what, I believe that God's real. I believe that God's faithful. I believe that God's loving. I believe that God's caring. I believe that I'm spiritual. I believe God came to give me life. I believe that life comes through God. And James says, what good is that? You're still standing up. There's still no rest. There's still no relaxation. There's none of the benefits of the chair are part of your life. He says, this isn't faith. I'm going to spend 15 minutes with him every day. I'm going to make it a priority. This is faith. And it's faith, no matter if you sit down believing that it's going to hold you up or if you sit down believing that it's going to fall apart. For her, she's believing God, even though she doesn't really know if anyone hears her. That's faith. For a lot of us who've been on this journey and you've been sitting in the chair for a while now, And the great thing about faith is that the longer you sit in the chair, the more that you actually believe God and act, the more that you actually say, you know what, I'm not just going to stand back there and say I believe it, but I'm actually going to do something about it. The more you begin to actually believe that the chair will hold you up. The great thing about faith is that when you act in faith, it actually gives you confidence to have more faith about greater things. And one of the problems that we've fallen into with this idea of our mission and this idea of introducing people to what it means to follow Jesus Christ is that we've been sitting back here and we've been saying, I'm telling you, the chair is real. I'm telling you, the chair can hold you up. I'm telling you, the chair is really comfortable. I'm telling you, life is better with him. I'm telling you, he will take care of you. I'm telling you, he's trustworthy. And people are looking at us and they're saying, you're not even sitting down. They're looking at us and saying, well, where's the life then? And you say, well, what's the difference then of this faith and if I had faith in say, Buddha or Muhammad? And for some of you, this is going to shock you and you're going to have to talk to me afterwards and you're going to write really interesting things on your connection card. There's no difference in your faith. You see, the faith isn't different. What you're trusting is different. And for a long time, we've said, you know what? My faith is better because it's more provable. Is that what you want? A provable faith? Is that what our goal is? I can prove my chair better than anyone else. I can prove that my chair exists better than anyone else can prove that their chair exists. Is that what we want? You know what I want? I want to be alive. I want to have a faith that when you sit down in it, it holds you up. I want to have a faith that when you follow it, it brings you life. I want to experience what they experienced in this book where everything could be taken from them. Everything they ever dreamed of, everyone they've ever known. They can be beaten and thrown into prison and they sing for joy. Why? Because their faith is in something that's real. And Jesus Christ, as he's talking to his followers, he says, listen, I want to tell you what's going to make you different. I want to tell you what's going to make you stand out. I want to tell you how people are going to know that you're my followers. It's because your faith is going to change you. They're going to see the way that you love people. You're going to be alive. You're going to experience this life to the fullest, and people are going to see it. And they're not going to be able to walk away from it. Because every one of us in this room, if you're honest, every one of us will admit that if we come in contact with someone, if we were to actually come in contact with someone who is fully alive, there's no way we wouldn't want what they have. I'll share with you one of the number one verses that's not in the Bible. Go ahead and bring it up here. People will follow me because you'll be able to prove I exist more than any other God. Not in the Bible, 1:1. It's not what it's about. Maybe you thought that's what it's about. Maybe you thought this journey was about sitting back here and somehow wrapping your mind around the idea that God is real, somehow standing back here and wrapping your mind around the idea that somehow that God is all these things. It's not about that. It's about picking up this book and saying, okay, God, what do you have to say to me? Okay, I believe you. I'll follow. That's what faith's all about. That's what real faith is. And I loved that email as we begin this series because it is so important that we realize that. But faith doesn't stop there. And our journey doesn't stop there. Because like I said, faith is something that's constantly growing. Not only is it growing in our actions as we believe God, but it's actually growing in the things that we believe God about. And if you're going to continue this journey for 6 weeks, there are a couple different obstacles that are going to come into your path that you have to be able to get past. There are a couple different things that you're going to have to believe God about if you're going to experience Him in this journey. And the first thing is that you're forgiven. The first thing you're going to have to believe God about on this journey is that you're forgiven. You see, there's an interesting thing that happens when you begin to take time to seek God. It happens in every single one of our lives. It happened in the lives of almost all the people who are inside of this book. There's an interesting thing that happens when you begin to draw near to God. For every single one of us, and I will guarantee this based upon what I find inside this book, for every single one of us, when you begin to draw near to God, you are going to become aware of how far short you actually fall. When you begin to take that time to experience God, when you begin to set aside that time, okay, God, I really want to experience you. I really want to know you. I really want to know this life that you have in store for me. Without a doubt, without question, every single one of us will begin to realize just how much our sin hurts people. When you begin to draw near to God, when you begin to work towards Him, you're going to become devastatingly aware of how much pain your sin causes the people around you. It is impossible to come near to God and not become more aware of your sin. If you think that you're experiencing God and you're not becoming more aware of your sin, you're not becoming more aware of how that affects the world around you, how it hurts and impacts the lives of the people around you, you're not experiencing God. And you read through this book and over again, you see people who came in contact with God and their response is always the same. I want you to hear this verse. It's by a guy who just for the first time walked into God's presence. Next one. It says, "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I've lived among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." You see, there's something that's going to begin to happen as you begin to pursue God. And the first thing is that you're going to become more and more aware of your actions and how they affect the world around you. You're going to become more and more aware of what you did today that hurt someone. Why? Because God's holy, because God's pure, because as you come in contact with Him, you're going to realize how much He loves them. You're going to realize how much he expects you to love them. And so without fail, for every single one of us, as you begin to draw near to God, you're going to realize how far short you fall. And you're going to have a decision to make. You see, the Bible tells us that the reason Jesus Christ came, the reason Jesus Christ gave His life, and in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can read the story of how He gave His life for every single one of us. The Bible tells us that the reason that that happened was so that we could be forgiven. The Bible tells us that the reason that that happened was so that we could be made clean, so that Jesus Christ could take our place, so that all those things that you've done to hurt people, that they would be placed on Him and He would pay the price for that. And so along this journey, you're going to have a choice. You're going to have a choice of whether or not you believe God or whether you're going to believe something else. And I want to show you the difference between someone who believes God and someone who doesn't. This is you. Hopefully you can see you. Probably can't, though. This is you, right? And you're on this journey towards God. But you begin to realize, man, I'm messed up. I can't believe this. And without fail, as you begin this journey towards God, you're going to walk away at times thinking, you know what? God doesn't want anything to do with me. There's no way God wants to talk to me today. There's no way that I'm going to be able to experience him today. You don't know what I did. You don't know the mistakes that I've made. And so we have a choice. There's two paths from there. There are those who say, okay, I've got to make it right. I've got to make up for it. I've got to beat this thing. And so you walk away and you say, okay, I've got to have victory. I've got to figure out some way to be able to overcome this thing that I'm struggling with. I've got to fix my life. Maybe tomorrow I'll be good enough to be able to come and experience God. And then there are those who keep coming to God because they believe him, that they're forgiven. And even though they feel like there's nothing God wants, that God wants nothing to do with them, even though they feel like there's no way they're going to experience God that day, they just keep coming. Why? Because I'm forgiven. Because God's told me that there's nothing that stands between me and him. Even when I make mistakes, I can keep coming. And there's an interesting thing that begins to happen in these people's lives. They begin to experience victory. You see, without question, in every single one of our lives, when we begin to seek God, when we begin to experience God, we're going to become more and more aware of how we fall short. The question is, do you believe God that you're forgiven? And will you stay long enough to let grace change you? You see, when you believe God that you're forgiven, when you keep coming back, even when it doesn't feel like you should be there, even when it doesn't feel like he wants you there, when you believe him, when you believe what he says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19, he says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Trusting him about what? For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope of what? That we're forgiven. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. The question is, will you keep coming? And when you do, there's something amazing that begins to happen. All of a sudden, you begin to love people more. Why? Because you're spending time with someone who loves people more than you could possibly imagine. All of a sudden, you begin to care about yourself a little bit less, all of a sudden you begin to look for ways to be able to impact people's lives. Why? Because you're spending time with someone who's constantly looking for ways to impact people's lives. All of a sudden you become transformed. Why? Because you figured it out? Because you figured out the answer? Because you finally beat it? No, because every time you walk into God's presence, you're reminded of how much He loves you, how much He cares for you, and it begins to transform the way you care and love for the people around you. This journey is all about faith. It's not about believing whether or not God exists. It's about believing God. And you get to choose. You get to choose what chair it is you're going to sit down in. What is it that's going to bring you life? For a lot of us, we've been trusting ourselves for a long time. We've been trusting our ability to figure it out. We've been trusting our ability to find the answer. How's your chair holding up? How's your chair holding up when it comes to love and joy and peace, the desires of your heart? God says, listen, if you'll begin to delight in me, if you'll begin to make me the number one desire in your life, if you'll begin to make me that priority, you'll begin to experience everything your heart desires. The question is whether you believe Him. And as you begin to believe Him, I guarantee you there are those here today who started that 15-minute challenge last week, and halfway through the week, they either missed a day or they just gave up because something happened and they're like, man, you know what? God doesn't want anything to do with me. Or maybe you missed a day and you come back the next day and you're like, I can't believe it. I blew it. This whole thing is over. There's no way God wants to talk to me today. There's no way I always blow it. And you have a choice. Do you believe Him? You're forgiven. And that forgiveness doesn't have anything to do with what you did. It doesn't have anything to do with how good you are. It doesn't have anything to do with what you've earned. It doesn't have anything to do with how many victories you have. It has to do with what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And what God is asking you to do is to come and experience Him and to believe Him that you're forgiven. That there's nothing that keeps you from Him. And no matter how you feel, the truth is, He wants to spend time with you. The truth is that you're never going to experience victory until you finally sit down. Until you finally believe that you're forgiven. And you stay long enough for God to begin to change you. For some of you, this entire journey for you has been about standing back here and figuring out whether the seed exists. Your entire life, everything has been about, okay, how can I somehow wrap my mind around the idea that God is real? And you haven't been able to do it, and you're convinced that, man, if I could just do that, I would be saved. If I could just do that, doesn't the Bible say if I could just wrap my mind around it, I would be saved? No, the Bible says if you believe Him, you'll be saved. The Bible says if you believe Him, you'll experience life. And you're standing back here and you're thinking, man, you know what? I'm never going to be able to believe. For others of you, your entire life, you've said, you know what? I'm okay because I believe in God. Everything's okay. I mean, I believe in God. But the truth is, you're not experiencing life. You're not experiencing love. You're not experiencing joy. You're not experiencing peace. You're not experiencing any of those things because you're not sitting down. You know what happens when you're standing here believing that you have life? There's an interesting passage that there's an interesting thing that Jesus Christ says to the Pharisees as he was here walking amongst us. He said, listen, you travel miles and miles to make a convert, and when you do, you make them twice the sons of hell that you are. I could never understand that at all until we began to work through this series. And I began to realize that when you're standing back here and you're thinking, you know what? I know God because I believe that God exists. And when you're interacting with the people around you and saying, you know what, I can convince you that God exists. I can convince you that God is real. And you finally get them to stand here and say, yeah, God's real. But you're never actually believing God. You're never actually teaching them how to believe God. You know what that is? That's traveling miles and miles to make a convert. And when you do, they become twice the sons of hell that you are. Because they're convinced that, you know what, I'm okay because I believe in God. That's not what it's about. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, and when the light that you think you have, and if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. I have two questions for you tonight. Number one, are you standing? Are you sitting here saying, you know what, I believe that God's real? Or are you sitting here saying, you know, I'm not sure if I can even believe in this idea of God, and I have to wrap my mind around this in order to somehow find this life that he's talked to me about? Are you standing here? Are you standing here saying, you know, I believe in God, everything's cool, everything's great, but you're not experiencing life? My first question is, are you standing? And I'm telling you, listen, God is inviting you if you would just believe him. He's inviting you to an entirely different kind of journey. A journey where he's guiding you, a journey where he's loving you. A journey where you're experiencing him over and over and over again. Why? Because you believe he exists? No, because you're believing him. Tonight, if you're here and you're standing, don't waste another day. One of my favorite authors wrote something on Twitter this week that was really profound. He said, see, don't follow Jesus Christ because you might die tonight. It's just the reason you follow Jesus Christ is because you must live tomorrow. And so you have a choice of what life you're going to live. And you can either believe God or you can keep standing. If that's you tonight, do not waste another day. For others of you, you're sitting down, and for some of you, and these are the coolest people to meet, you're sitting down thinking, man, I have no idea where this is going to go and how this is going to work out, and I'm not sure about this. And my question for you is, will you believe God that you're forgiven? Will you stick with this 6-week challenge because you believe that even when you fall, even when you fail, he still wants to be with you? Will you believe him that Jesus Christ came and gave his life to pay for those things so that you never, ever have to stand up again? It's all about believing. Will you pray with me? Father, tonight I know that there are people here who have spent their lives standing. They've bought into this idea that somehow they have to prove themselves to you. They've bought into this idea that somehow they have to show that they're good enough. They've bought into this idea that they can only come to you after they somehow appease you. But Father, you've told us that salvation is found when we believe that we're forgiven. And so tonight, I just want to lead those who are here, who are in that place. I just want to lead those in a prayer to you. And tonight, if you're here and that's where you are, you've spent your entire life standing. But you're tired of that. You want that life that God talks about. I just encourage you to pray this with me. God, I've trusted in all the wrong things, and I know that I'm broken. I know that I've made mistakes. I know that I've fallen short, but I believe you that Jesus Christ came and gave his life for me. I believe you that he paid the price. And so, Father, tonight, I want to sit down. I want to place my faith in you. I want to begin to seek you. I want to begin to follow you and trust you. And Father, where you lead, I'll follow. I want to believe you. Father, I pray as we continue on this journey that you would continue to teach us what it means to experience. And Father, I know that you're faithful, and as we do this, that we really will find love and joy and peace because we really will find you. I thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.